Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we have a patron-chosen episode today. It is very scary, I thought.
Oh, no.
And pretty feel bad. Feel bad and scary.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
The patrons are doing us dirty.
They are doing us dirty. As is their right.
That's right. No. That's right.
I still love them. I still love them. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, of course, mm-hmm. Always and forever. But if you want to skip straight to that recap, there are timestamps in the show notes that you can use. Because first we're going to, I have a little bit of haunted housekeeping.
Oh, please do.
And then we will just chat with each other as we always do because we love to do it.
As is our right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some haunted housekeeping. I just was excited. For some reason in the past week, I noticed all these good horror movies coming out. I think they are from festivals that have gotten picked up and added to the release calendar. So we've got a new M. Night Shyamalan movie called The Watchers.
Yes. Fun. I saw that. Fun.
Dakota Fanning and Georgina Campbell from Barbarian.
Woo!
Very excited about that. And then there's a new A24 horror movie called I Saw the TV Glow. I know that was at Sundance.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And there's a new The Strangers movie with Madeline Petch.
Oh, you better believe. Okay. I just accidentally watched the trailer for that mere moments ago. And I had to stop watching it.
It does look very scary, but it also does look like too close of a remake, maybe. Like, I thought at first it was going to be a continuation, like, but it looks to be, but we'll see. We'll see. Either way, regardless, I'm excited for it. And there's a couple more that I didn't write down, but just to say,
what's
I'm
up
excited.
With Abigail? Do we think that's going to be good?
Oh, yeah. We'll see Abigail. That's directed by the same directors as Scream 5.
And Dan Stevens is in it.
And
the main character's name is Sammy.
Oh, boy.
What?
And Melissa Barrera is in it, too.
Yep,
what's
yep.
the Hunter Schafer movie? Did that come out yet? Remember Hunter Schafer is going to be? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. That movie has had kind of a cursed release schedule. It keeps getting scheduled and pushed and scheduled and pushed for, I think, the past 2 to 3 years. And so.
Oh, my.
What
that's
the hell?
Usually not a great sign, but.
No.
That said, I'll still be seeing it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I love horror movies, and
she does. It is exciting. I get very excited when we get a bunch of new releases because, you know,
you want to hear about them. We want to talk about
them. I want to talk about them. There's so many, you know, old releases, if you will,
yep.
not to discriminate, that we also haven't done that are good. But it's just like, sue me. I like something new and shiny.
I do as well.
The Sydney Sweeney horror movie that's coming out in March, Immaculate.
Excuse me?
I felt like that one looked kind of bad, but if it's good, we'll be covering it. Don't you worry.
How dare you? It's about nuns. Our favorite topic, nuns. She was on SNL this past weekend, and from the few clips I saw, I laughed. Bowen Yang playing a straight male character was very funny.
that's fun. Also, we have to decide if this counts as a horror movie. It probably doesn't. It's probably just pure action, but we also saw the trailer for Twisters. This weekend of movies, and
it looks so scary.
Good. God, I'm so excited for that movie. Holy shit.
Movies.
We love them.
So I just, yeah, wanted to call that out so that we could all feel excited about the future.
That's nice. That's a nice thing to do.
I'll do another quick plug that a documentary series that I edited is now streaming on Netflix called The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping. And check it out.
You gotta check it out. I mean, it feels bad. I'll say that.
That's
it feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
And as we record this episode, the full series has not been released. So I've only seen, I got to see the pilot episode. And it's, yeah, you have to watch it. It is, it's really compelling, and people should know about all of this, but it does feel very bad. So just know that.
Yep.
Just know that.
Take care of yourselves. Proceed with caution.
Yeah. But you gotta watch it.
How often are you into a docuseries though, wanting, like, expecting to feel good? Unless it's a celebrity docuseries a la,
Beckham.
Which made me feel so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, particularly if the subtitle is
cons, cults, and kidnapping.
Yeah, you got to know what you're signing up for. Bit of a clue there.
Yep.
Wow. Great housekeeping.
Yeah. So now on to our favorite part of the week. Did anything scary happen to you guys this week?
You know, not much, except there is currently a little mourning dove who has made a nest in the lemon tree outside of my living room window.
Wow, this is a storybook.
It's very sweet.
She's really cute. It's perfect view. I can see just right through. She's just right there in front of the window on the window facing side of the lemon tree. She's really cute, and she's in her nest all day long. And I'm so invested in her, and I like watch her all the time. And it really rained this week, and she was just sitting there,
you know,
getting
what?
So wet.
It rained so much this week, and I truly had, I kept thinking about the birds. I was like, what are the birds
okay?
doing?
What are the birds doing? And it's like, other birds could maybe fly themselves under somewhere dry, but she couldn't leave her nest. She had to stay
right
there.
Be the umbrella.
and just get so wet. And I just kept looking out the window at her, and I just like can't stop thinking about her. But I'm also, I think she doesn't like it when I look at her. I think I'm a big scary thing. And I don't know how. I keep trying to figure out, like, how do I like soothe a bird and let her know that I'm not scary? And I don't know how to do that.
You need to put the calm app on loud and just put it next to your, put Matthew McConaughey on a calm app.
That's what I have to do. I don't know. I'm worried about being so invested in this mourning dove and her soon to be little baby chickadees, and the world out there is scary, and there's a lot of critters that come into my yard, and I just, guys, I don't know. I'm just nervous. That's all. I'm just nervous for her and our journey moving forward.
Emily, yeah. I went through like the same thing a couple years ago, but it was pigeons. And so I was able to feel.
I mean, I think she is a pigeon.
As a morning dove,
look a lot like pigeons.
I can't tell. She's just really cute. So I'm calling her a dove, but you know, she might be a pigeon. Was that helpful for you that it was a pigeon?
I got to say, it was helpful because it was not a happy ending.
This is what I'm so worried about.
You got to start emotionally disconnecting right now, Emily. Protect your heart. Protect your heart.
Nature is a violent and terrifying place.
Mm-hmm, I know. Mm-hmm.
It's chaos out there.
What happened? Was it a cat?
I don't know. It was on the fourth floor on a fire escape. There is a pigeon who had a nest made out of like literal trash. This is New York City. The nest was pure garbage. Yeah. And she was, I watched her in the rain. The rain was really.
The rain, man. They can't go anywhere.
No. And then one day, just the pigeon and the nest were gone. And I don't know what happened, but okay. I don't think it was a happy ending.
Sure. But she was like exposed, right? You know, just out on a fire escape.
Yeah, she was out on a fire escape. Yeah.
I mean, this lady's in a lovely little tree, but I just, okay. Yeah, I'm worried.
That might be better.
I'm worried, you guys.
How's she doing today post rain?
She's drier. She looked happier. She's a little like fluffier, which I don't know what that means. She sort of fluffed up her little chest.
Probably doing some pruning.
Maybe doing some pruning, some preening.
Preening, excuse me.
She's pruning our tree for us.
Put her to work.
I'm putting her straight to work. She's my new gardener. I just don't know, you guys. And I don't know, how long does it take, you know? Like, when will there be babies? Are there eggs now? Is that what she's doing? She's on the eggs.
Yeah, she's sitting on the eggs.
Yeah, but I feel like something else.
So cute.
Something else to prepare yourself for is that I feel like a lot of the baby birds die because they try to fly and then they fall and die.
God.
Yeah, I think that's right. Or the rats get like, them. The rats get them.
There are rats in the tree. Oh, God. I am sorry. It's about to be a horror show. God damn it. Yeah.
The rats in a lemon tree is like the most fucked up thing that nature could think of. How dare you put rats in a lemon tree? But rats love their citrus and they're always scurrying around those lemon trees.
But you know I love my tree rats. I got no problem with my tree rats.
Except we just want to attack your beloved. Yeah, except when they attack your beloved.
I know.
Pigeon.
I just want them to become friends. Is that too much to ask? A friendship between baby birds and a tree rat? I don't understand what's so complicated.
I don't know.
Oh gosh. Did anything scary happen to you guys this week?
I just need some tips and tricks from you guys about what to eat for lunch.
Oh my God, Henley, this is my worst.
Lunch is the hardest meal of the day.
You're barking up the wrong tree here because I do not know. Lunch is my enemy.
Okay, so we need people to comment.
Sound
out in the comments, what the fuck are we eating for lunch? Because I need a hyperfixation meal. I just need one thing that I cook every day that I'm happy about that I'll eat. I gotta say, I love a dip. If I can just find a dip that I like, I'll put it on anything. I'll just eat that dip. I've recently been kind of obsessed with this Peruvian hot sauce called Aji. That's like kind of this mayonnaise-y cilantro jalapeno hot sauce.
Yum.
And we get this Peruvian chicken and it comes with this hot sauce, but I can't be ordering the Peruvian chicken just so I can get the hot sauce every few days. Do you know what I mean?
And I just dump the chicken straight in the trash.
Essentially, I'm literally buying it for the hot sauce. I've tried recreating the hot sauce in my house. No success. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just need a store-bought sauce people are using that they're liking to dip things into, What are we eating for lunch? I just need solutions.
God, it's such a good question. Lunch is impossible.
It's really awful. I'll tell you what I do is that I eat a very late breakfast and a very early dinner, and I snack any other time that I'm hungry. So I've actually eliminated lunch because I hate it so much.
I'm really the hungriest at like 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., I would say, in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually eat at like 12 and 5.
Interesting.
Well, that sounds nice. Well, what's hard is like I have to have lunch because I work right now, you know, and I'm out at work. And so what to bring? I would also love, I know this was your question, Henley, but guys, sound off. What do you do for work lunch? And there's people who are so good at like on the weekend, they'll prep all their little lunches. And you prep all your little lunches. I'm so jealous. I just don't understand how you're supposed to do to have a balanced lunch. I don't know.
I would prep something if I liked it. I've never prepped a thing I liked. I'll prep something being like, this is so smart of me. Look at me making my little Greek salad in advance. And then it comes time for me to eat my Greek salad. I'm like, this is the last fucking thing I want to eat. I do not want this.
It's like salads, smoothies, and sandwiches are lunch foods, all of which I like, but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel satisfying. I prefer snacks at lunchtime, like a hard-boiled egg, some apple and peanut butter. Just build a meal out of sides.
Maybe a dip.
Sort of dip. A couple slices of turkey.
Cheese and apples. Some turkey.
What I've had for the lunch for the past like 3 days are these honey mustard pretzels and cheddar cheese.
Girl lunch. Is that something? Is that anything?
I think that's something. I do love a pretzel and cheese combo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that is not really a lunch. A pretzel does not make.
I think it is girl lunch. Joel fucking hates when I do this. He'll be like, I will all of a sudden be starving. And he's like, what'd you have for lunch? It's like 4 p.m. I'm like dying. And I'm like, cheese and corn chips. And he's like, that's not lunch. What are you doing?
This is my problem. Exactly. I need to protect my blood sugar. My blood sugar
is plummeting. You've got to get some protein, Henley. You know this. You know the protein is part of it.
You know this. Eat some of that chicken you're throwing in the trash.
I'm trying.
Just buy like turkey meat. I get slices of turkey meat. Just like plain turkey.
I buy that every time I'm at the grocery store and every time I never eat
ones.
It.
You know what I do like? I do a little turkey roll up. I call it a turkey roll up. Mm-hmm. I've invented this thing. Mm-hmm. No, you just you know, no sandwich involved. Just the cheese. You roll it around.
The turkey and then the turkey. Tortilla.
You got to dip it in something.
No, the cheese is the tortilla.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the cheese is the tortilla because it's less slippery.
There you go. She needs some traction on those fingertips.
Traction. Your guys' turkey doesn't just slip right out of your hands.
Whoop.
I go to eat turkey, it falls on the floor.
These are the kinds of tips I'm looking for. Sammy bought me a 1 minute egg maker in the microwave, and I use it every day. And my mother-in-law has bought one. It's perfect and I love it, but I can't live off of microwaved eggs and pretzels. So I need some other ideas.
Okay. Yeah. We need some ideas. Let us know what you do for lunch.
Help us.
Sammy?
I had a kind of scary thing happen this week. Well, it's happened to me many times before, but I have a certain type of dream that I have previously referred to as sleep paralysis, but this time that it happened, I was like, I don't think it's sleep paralysis. And I found a name for it, and it is called false awakening. Do you guys ever have this?
Yes.
You wake up, get out of bed, start doing stuff, and then you realize you're not up at all and you're still just dreaming.
Whoa.
Oh, what? Not that far. I wake up and I'm still in bed and I'm trying to move. I guess that's sleep paralysis. Is that just sleep paralysis?
That's what I get to sometimes where I'm like, I'm still definitely asleep. So I guess the difference is that in sleep paralysis, you're mostly awake and you're aware of your surroundings, but there's just a part of your brain that's still asleep. So you can basically see things in your room or hear things that aren't there. And false awakening is kind of the opposite, where you're mostly asleep, but some part of you is awake. So you're dreaming. So for me, my most recent episode, I was in my bed, but I was dreaming that I was in a different bed, but I knew that I was in bed and I was trying to get up and I couldn't mm-hmm. move and mm-hmm. I was getting really frustrated and it just cycles and like I'll realize and mm-hmm. then I'll forget and then I'll be in a different bed and I'll be trying to get out. And it's usually when I go back to sleep in the morning. And so it's like, I think something to do with it being a lighter sleep cycle mm-hmm. or not being able to get into that sweet, sweet REM sleep. Mm.
I have definitely experienced this. This is a number one experience for me where
I don't like the sound of this at all.
It's usually not terrifying. Like yes, it's not scary.
It's just it's annoying. Not scary.
It's just frustrating. It's just frustrating where you're like half awake. It's like what you said. It's exactly what you said where I'll be in bed and I'll be trying to get up and I can't get up and I'm trying to get up and I can't get up, but I'm still like very relaxed and it's mm-hmm. fine. It's just annoying. That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time as well. And I think sometimes you can kind of blend the two and it can get scary and mm-hmm. you'll start having it be someone's in the room with you and you can't move, but you're maybe still dreaming. So I've had all kinds of it, but I didn't know the name false awakening. I'm glad to have discovered it. Because this is something I experience often. Have I talked about having exploding head syndrome?
No, what is that?
It's apparently kind of all these things are a little related.
Except one sounds like really false awakening. Head exploding syndrome.
exploding head syndrome is when you wake up to a really loud noise that didn't happen. And that used to happen to me a lot where I would think a bomb went off and I would wake up panicking and then my cats are still asleep at the foot of my bed. And so I know that there was no noise.
Wow.
Ooh, that's wild. Why does that happen?
I don't know exactly, but they're all
your head's exploding
as you're dreaming something and they're all sleep disorders, I guess. And so if you experience one, you're more likely to experience another, and they might be something you experience frequently throughout life. They might be something you only experience once, but just learning about some sleep disorders.
Oh, I love to sleep.
I love to sleep.
I think that's the main
I want to do it.
That's the main thing in false awakenings that's annoying is it's just like I'm too aware of the fact that I'm like trying to either be asleep or awake mm-hmm. and I feel like stuck in the middle. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little sleep purgatory.
Yeah. Yeah. So
scary, but probably not as scary as this week's movie, I'm guessing from the way that you described it.
Not as scary as that. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. This week's movie is A Tale of Two Sisters, came out in 2003, written and directed by Kim Ji-woon. He's the director of I Saw the Devil, which Emily and I did as a bonus episode. Aww. Starring Lim Soo-jung, Yum Jung-ah, Kim Kap-soo, and Moon Gyun-young. And it, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, is not streaming anywhere. And so I purchased it on DVD and I bought a Blu-ray player because for whatever the last movie was, The Others, that I had to buy the DVD player for. I bought the cheapest DVD player money could buy, and it worked just that one time for The Others, and it did not work again. So I had to buy another.
It had one play.
Yeah, it's very annoying, but that'll teach me to buy cheap shit. So this movie is actually available on YouTube. It's just kind of a low quality, but you know, it's something. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube or available to purchase on DVD. And as I mentioned, this was a patron-chosen movie, and we do monthly patron-chosen movies. And if you want to vote in those polls, you can go to patreon.com/TSDWpodcast. Have you guys heard of this movie?
No.
No. Does it have anything to do with A Tale of Two Cities? A novel I've never read and know very little about.
Something else I know nothing about. Is it like exactly. The other thing I don't know anything
about? Exactly.
I also don't know anything about that, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay, cool. Great. Oh, great. Let's just get that out of the way, though. That's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, everyone's wondering. Everyone's wondering. Nobody's read A Tale of Two Cities. Nobody.
No, no.
Nobody currently alive has ever read it, which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Lost to time.
That's just the truth. Is that the it was the best of times, it was the worst of times?
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's all the anybody
only thing,
knows.
It's the only thing I know about it.
And I only know about that from the Mary-Kate and Ashley show.
Oh, interesting.
They started every episode with it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Actually, oh, it was
so
bedtime.
Literary. So literary,
that's
those two.
So literary. So that's crazy that that's all that's left of A Tale of Two Cities.
I know. There's no more copies available anywhere, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it's just gone.
I became familiar with this movie through this podcast from it being requested a bunch, but I had not seen it. I really liked I Saw the Devil with one asterisk of refrigerator wife things happening. But
oh, yeah.
But I found this movie quite different. I'm curious to watch more of Kim Ji-woon's movies because I think he's a really great director. And yeah, I'm into it. And I Saw the Devil is a little more just like violent action. There's horror. It's horror-y, but this is more undeniably horror.
Awesome.
And yeah. We're in for quite a ride.
Okay.
This is also a movie that once I finished it, I was immediately very nervous to recap it because it's gets a little crazy. So I'm gonna do my best.
Oh, wow. Sammy, best person for the job.
It's a wild one. Just one of those. Remember we talked on the Lighthouse episode how when you're watching it, you're like, oh no, like I don't know what. Is happening.
Yep. Yeah.
How 100%. Will I describe it? But in going through it and reading a bunch of stuff on Reddit, I think I got a good handle on it now. So
nice.
Love Reddit.
God, I love Reddit. A Tale of Two Sisters has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 65% on Metacritic, and a 7.1 on IMDb.
Cracking into the sevens.
Yeah. Wow. That's basically 200% on IMDb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The budget was $3.7 million, and it made $1
million. Oh. Okay.
But when this film was originally released, it became both the highest-grossing Korean horror film of all time and the first one to be screened in American theaters. So this was 2003, Korean horror film didn't have, you know, a quite the same, I guess, built-in audience. Like, so this was actually a pretty good result.
Okay. Yeah.
So even though it didn't make a ton of money, it was a great success and probably paved a bit of the way for like Korean horror. We love a Korean horror movie.
Yeah.
There's probably earlier things. You know, I haven't done a full Korean horror history, but I would like to. I really love Korean horror films.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
There is an American remake of this film called The Uninvited, which. I don't even remember coming out. I feel like I've never heard of it. It has Emily Browning in it.
Okay.
And it's actually got pretty good reviews. So I'm kind of curious. I might check it out.
I feel like I actually have heard of that, but it may just be because it sounds like a horror movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It is a kind of generic title. Not as good as A Tale of Two Sisters, in my opinion.
Okay, we can do it.
Okay, yep, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay. Look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary. I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they feel just kind of unhealthy.
So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code TOOSCARY so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it, and it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them, and now I want all of them, so I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
I will start us out with a trigger warning.
Oh, man. Of course.
If you can believe it. For child abuse and suicide. So we begin in a hospital room, a kind of sterile, empty hospital room. There is a doctor speaking with a young teenage girl. She looks obviously very traumatized, has her head hanging down with her hair in front of her face. This is Sumi. This is our protagonist. The doctor is showing her photos of herself and her family and saying, like, do you recognize these people? Do you know who you are? Can you tell me who this is? She's not responding to anything. And then he changes to another photo, and he's pointing at various people in the photo, and he says, can you tell me what happened that day? And so there's clearly been some traumatic event. And she lifts her head up at that question and looks still wordlessly out the window. And we cut to a POV of a backseat in a car driving down a beautiful country road out to a lake house that's secluded. And a dad gets out of the car, hot dad. Moohyun is his name.
Mm.
And then two sisters get out of the backseat. Sumi, that is it, if we recognize from the opening scene, and her sister Soo-yun. Mm-hmm. And the color here is very bright. And so we're assuming this is a flashback, probably to the, is going to lead up to whatever traumatic event happened. So they go out to the lake. There's a dock on the lake, and Sumi looks at Suyun's palm, does like a palm reading. She's looking at her palms, and then she gets this very serious look on her face, like she's nervous, like maybe that lifeline is not as long as she'd like it to be. That's where your brain usually goes to in a palm reading, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Already there is quite a lot of dread, and the pacing is very slow at first, and you're just anxious about what's to come. And so there's these shots of them, just long shots of them dipping their feet in the water, hanging off the dock. And then there's shots up from underneath the water at their feet.
Hate that.
I really hate that. I have mild thalassophobia. I feel like everybody does. This is just like deep water being very scary dark water. So that has nothing to do with anything. There's no monster in the water or anything. But it's just little details like that that put you on edge. So I'm just don't know when I can feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go back to the house later, and they are welcomed in by their stepmom, Yunju, who looks like she's overcompensating. She's being so nice to them, like, oh my God, girls, like, so good to see you, so good to see you. I missed you so much. I missed you. And like, did you guys go down to the lake? Like, I thought you were gonna maybe say hi to me first, but you just went down to the lake. That's fine, that's fine. And just has this very chaotic energy right off the bat. And it's clear that the two sisters don't like this stepmom, and they're holding hands and keeping their distance from her. They look possibly even a little bit scared of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yunju notices this, and you know, she kind of relaxes a second, and she looks at them both, and she says to Suyun, "You're looking like you're feeling much better." And Suyun doesn't say anything, and she says the same thing to Sumi, like, you look better too. And she says something to Suyun, like, you're getting prettier every time I see you, just like your mom. And it looks like we don't like that. At this point was getting a little like, is this going to be a little Munchausen by proxy situation?
Right.
I'm getting sinister vibes from this stepmom. Sumi goes to her room and sees a wardrobe in the corner that she is, for some reason, very upset to see. This wardrobe is a surprise to her that it's there, and she's angry that it's there. We see her dad downstairs on the phone with someone, and he's saying to this person, you know, things actually aren't looking great right now. I don't think it would be much help if you came. And then he says to the person on the other end of the line, did I tell you that Sun Ki and his wife are coming over for dinner? Then I can't remember. He's like, I'll talk to you later or whatever. But something is up. Then the four of them have a family dinner, stepmom, dad, and two sisters. It's, again, very tense. Nobody's really talking to each other. And then Yunju turns to the dad, Mu Hyun, and says, I invited Sun Ki and his wife over for dinner. And we're a little weirded out by that because we just heard him on the phone saying that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That just was confusing to me. I was like confused for the first half hour of this movie as well. I'm like, something's going on, and I don't know what adds to that feeling of like being unsettled and like just on edge. And Mu Hyun, the dad, looks kind of disturbed by the stepmom saying this to him as well. And it reminds him to, he gives her some pills. And we see that Yunju has to take these pills. We're clocking that. After dinner, the girls go back up to their bedroom. Well, they each have their own bedroom. They're in one of their bedrooms. I don't know. But Soo Mi tells Soo Yun that if their stepmom ever tries anything with her, ever does anything like physically, or if she is mean to you or hurts you or anything, like, tell me immediately. Like, I'm not going to let that happen. You have to tell me if anything goes on, because I'll protect you. We do see downstairs, Yunju has this very beautiful green room, like a room just filled with plants, and she has a little bird in a bird cage. And just to add to, it's just a very gorgeous, gorgeous house. Lots of beautiful, colorful wallpaper. We see Yunju putting on a sexy nightie. Putting, like, getting herself ready in their bedroom for Moo Hyun coming to bed. And she's kind of, you know, looks like she's trying to maybe get lucky. We don't know. But he...
It's so funny that it's called that.
Get lucky.
Ooh, let's see if it gets
lucky.
And the dad, when he walks in, looks like he does not want to lay a finger on her. He's almost... He, like, gets in bed next to her in his full clothes, button down shirt and pants, and... like, humors her for a second, like, puts his arm around her, and then, like, lays onto his back and stares blankly at the ceiling, and both of them just have these kind of disappointed, sad faces. And then he goes downstairs and sleeps on the couch. At this point, each member of the family, well, at least Yunju and Soo Yun, are hearing footsteps in the house now in the middle of the night.
But everybody's, like, in a separate room, so yeah. It could be someone.
Yeah. And we see Yunju get up because she hears the noises and sees that her husband isn't in the bed, and she gets up and is sitting on the side of the bed. So she's, you know, could be getting up. And we go into Soo Yun's room, and she's hearing footsteps come down the hallway toward her door. Then the door slowly creaks open, and she just, like, squeezes her eyes shut, pretending she's asleep. Which is such a, it's a thing that I still do. Do you guys, like, if I'm ever scared, I'm just like, well, if I'm asleep,
nothing can get me.
They'll leave me alone.
Yes.
They'll respect the sanctity of sleep.
Yeah. It's like, but there is truth to it, right? Because it's like, if I'm asleep, they don't know that they're caught. Or whatever, and so they won't.
There's more of a chance. They can still leave. They can still make the choice to leave.
Right, right. It's just avoiding a confrontation, I guess. But so something about this, like, felt very childish watching in the moment, but then I thought about it and was like, oh, no, I still do that. And it's very scary. The door's creaking open, and then we see a little, some little fingers coming around the door, pulling it open. She's squeezing her eyes shut in bed. And someone yanks the covers off of her. She still pretends to be asleep. She doesn't react to it. Very impressive. I would have probably jumped and screamed. Then the footsteps walk out of the room. And so she, after that, runs into Sumi's room. Soo Mi just thinks that she's had a nightmare or something. She's, you know, she's saying, someone was in my room. Someone was in my room. She goes, oh, it's just, we haven't been back in the house in a while. You're just not used to the noises. And Soo Yun asks Soo Mi to go check in her room, I think, at some point. She's like, can you just go see? So Soo Mi now gets up and is just doing a lap of the house, basically, seeing if anything's amiss. And she sees her dad sleeping downstairs, notices that, and goes to, she kind of strokes his cheek lovingly. And then her stepmom is behind her and is like, he's asleep. But she says it at such a loud volume. And she's like, he's asleep. Be quiet. What are you doing down here? And they have, like, a full volume conversation directly next to the sleeping dad about how we need to be quiet because he's sleeping. It's very funny. They're just butting heads. They don't get along. And Soo Mi goes to the fridge to get some water, and she notices this wrapped package of what's probably some sort of meat, but it looks bloodier than a normal thing that you would buy at the butcher, and unwraps it. And it is this like very bloody fish, but it's not, it doesn't look like fish to eat. It's like a dead fish that has been like smashed.
Ew.
It's,
this was in the trailer, right? She like drops it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just like a bloody little fish body.
Gross.
Ew.
That doesn't necessarily look edible. She drops it. She screams. We see the stepmom watching TV static, just like, just
ew, sitting
there. Oh, I don't like that. That terrifies me.
Very scary. And Sumi goes back upstairs to Soo-yun and tells her, I think it was Yoon-ju, because she's so weird, like something is wrong with that woman. So they're just, and again, she reassures her, like, I'll protect you from her, like nothing. I'm not going to let her do anything to you. So now they are sleeping in bed together, and they're both wearing nasty nightgowns, by the way.
Oh, boy.
We see Sumi is having a nightmare. There's quick flashes of bloody hands, a woman in the woods, some hand like clawing, trying to get out of somewhere. Just real fast shots of upsetting imagery. She wakes up gasping for breath and, you know, kind of doing a few if it was just a dream. Mm. When she hears a noise and looks down at the foot of the bed, and there's just the top of a woman's head kind of moving past the, like, as if someone's crawling at the foot of the bed.
No.
But you can just see the top of their head. But then they continue crawling, and it is a woman on her hands and knees, hair hanging over her head and her face, so we can't see who it is. And she's just slowly crawling towards the door. Sumi is terrified and I think breathing loud, and the woman on her hands and knees slowly turns to look at her. And we still really can't recognize who it is. The hair is hanging in front of their face, but it looks ghosty. She's looking not
human.
Not alive.
Yeah, she's very pale. And she then jumps up in a way that is not of human movement. It's basically like a jump cut almost, like she just flashes and she's standing up.
Ew.
And then she stands on the bed on top of Sumi, like straddling her kind of, but standing up and like looking over her, and her neck looks like it's broken.
Oh God.
I don't think I can't remember if she's like making any groaning noises, but Sumi is absolutely terrified, frozen in fear. The woman is wearing a skirt, and we see a like drip of blood coming from between her legs. And Sumi is just trembling in fear and looking, and sees a hand crawling out of between her legs also. Screams, flashes to, I don't know, being really awake now, and nothing's there. And she's panting and or like trying to catch her breath. Soo-yun is still asleep next to her, and she sees that Soo-yun has started her period. She's like bleeding through the nasty nightgown. I don't know. She just like feels like she's got to help her with that. So maybe now we can forget the dream a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
And just deal with that.
Do we feel like this woman was their mom?
Possibly.
Okay.
The hand that came out, adult sized, baby sized?
I thought it was kind of adult sized or teenager sized.
Okay. Was it bloody? Regular.
Regular. I think.
Just a regular hand coming out of your vagina.
Between the ghost legs. Yeah.
Yep. And it's now very early in the morning, and so Sumi gets up and tiptoes into the stepmom's room to get some pads for her sister. And as she's tiptoeing out, stepmom wakes up and like asks her, "What are you doing?"
What are you doing in here?
Evil stepmother.
Your little stepmom's face is so funny.
What are you doing? And she sees the pads in her hands and says, like, did you start your period? And she says, no, Soo-yun did. And stepmom kind of laughs and is like, funny. We started our period on the same day.
Ew.
So she walks out. And she goes back to Soo-yun, changes the bed sheets, gets her changed, gives her the pads, and is again comforting her and saying it's okay, like it's totally fine. And then she goes to the bathroom, Sumi goes to the bathroom, and she has also started her period.
So that's
certainly strange. But it's daytime now. The sisters go out and they're playing some more. They are sitting on the porch laughing and looking at the bird and talking shit on their stepmom, having a grand old time, when their dad walks up and says to Sumi, or asks Sumi if she's okay, says, like, you're not looking well. She says, no, I'm fine. You need to get rid of that wardrobe. And he says, I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about the wardrobe. Just a strange moment between them. We don't really know what that means, but we don't like it. Whatever it is, probably Mm-mm. not good. Mm-mm. Sumi goes up to her room and pulls out some old family photos and is looking through them, and we see her mom for the first time, and still can't tell if it's the ghost, but it's possible. And she's going through these photos, and we see photos of Yoon-ju as a nurse.
Oh.
Yeah, and we're kind of forming some theories of what that might mean. But Soo-yun comes in, and Sumi puts the photos away and turns to Soo-yun and sees that she has bruises on her arms, like handprint bruises around her forearms. And Sumi, like, freaks out and says, I told you to tell me who did this. She did this to you. And Sumi's reacting huge to this. I mean, obviously it's worth a huge reaction, but she's reacting in kind of a scary way, and she's basically screaming at her and being like, I told you to tell me everything. And she grabs her and starts, like, shaking her, like, you should have told me. And it's like, we shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sumi goes up to storms to Yoon-ju to confront her about this, and it's like, I can't believe you'd, like, lay a finger on her, and you're a monster, and I can't believe we have to live under the same roof. And they just get in this big fight. Yoon-ju is saying, I'm your mother, whether you like it or not. Like, I'm the only person in this world that you can call mother. The dad, we see him overhearing them arguing and looking really sad and kind of defeated. Like, this has definitely happened before. So he comes down to try to break it up, and Sumi now gets in a fight with him, and he's telling her, like, you need to calm down. You can't do this again. You're going to make yourself sick again. And she's saying, like, why do you only ever tell me to calm down? Why aren't you telling her? And he's like, I just don't want you to get sick again. And she is crying and says, okay, fine, but from now on, you're responsible for all the filthy things that you brought here.
Whew.
Don't know what she means as a stepmom, but something else is going on. And now this evening is the night that the guests are coming for dinner. This is Yoon-ju's brother and his wife. So there is a point where Sumi says, like, I'm not having dinner with that man. And she says, that's not that man, that's your uncle. But it's their uncle from her side. So the girls don't like him, I guess, by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
So they refuse to come down for dinner. So it's just the four adults, dad, stepmom, brother, and his wife are having dinner together. Yunju, as she's like serving everyone, she's so excited to, she's got, you know, her best evening frock on, and she's just being a very animated hostess, serving all the food out and telling stories from her and her brother's childhood, saying, do you remember this time when we used to get in so much trouble when we would run in the field and mom would be yelling at us? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? And she's being manic and like laughing and laughing and laughing. And everyone looks uncomfortable and is not really responding. And she zeroes in on her brother and is saying, like, don't you remember? Why aren't you saying anything? Don't you remember? And he looks like he's really upset. And the wife is also like wide-eyed and everyone's stressed. And the brother says, I don't remember.
Whoa, what the fuck is going on in this movie? I'm so confused.
And the Yunju is really confused by this also and is like, what do you mean you don't remember? Like, how can you not remember? What are you talking about? And then at this moment, the brother's wife starts choking. They all turn their attention to her. She's choking. She falls out of her chair and she starts having like a full seizure.
Oh my God.
And she's throwing up and they're trying to get her on her back and like, and hold her. They're like, don't know what they're doing, but she's seizing and convulsing. And as she is, she's on her back and like tilts her head back so that she's looking upside down at Yunju, and Yunju is screaming, and it's a very upsetting scene. This woman does a great job in this performance because it looks very real. And we just cut to the uncle and his wife driving home, her with like little bits of vomit still on like the corner of her mouth, but she's conscious now and she's seemingly
like, all right, let's just go home now.
Yeah, seemingly not in need of medical attention anymore, I guess. And the uncle is apologizing to her and saying, I'm sorry that we went there. He asked me to come and I didn't have a choice. And the wife is, you know, a bit dazed still from this. And she just says, I saw something. And he asks her, what did she see? And she says, there was a girl under the sink. And it flashes to when she was upside down staring into the kitchen, a bloodied little girl crammed under the sink in this little like crawl space. It's so scary. Just like one shot of a scary, bloodied little girl.
No, no, that's enough.
How little, how bloodied?
I don't like it either way.
Very bloodied, descent level bloodied. And hard to say, a teenage probably as well.
Could be the age of one of the
daughters.
Could be. So obviously this dinner party has gone horribly and Yunju is cleaning up looking very...
Yeah, not what you want. Not what you want out of a dinner party.
Yunju is cleaning up looking really defeated and sad. And she sits down at the kitchen table by herself when the kitchen cabinet starts creaking open, which is where we have just seen the bloodied ghost girl is hiding underneath this sink. Yunju gets up and walks over to the sink, opens the second sink cabinet door to look inside. Nothing's inside. But she's like, how did this just open by itself? So she gets down on her hands and knees to look under the sink. Looks under. We're seeing the POV from under the sink at her looking down into it. Mm-mm. She's not having a reaction and she's really staring. So we're like, okay, maybe there's nothing there. and she gets up, and as she moves out of frame, we see a little girl sitting at the dining table where she just was behind her, but she doesn't notice. And then something falls onto the floor in front of her. It's some sort of hair clip, I think. I didn't actually see what it was. But she recognizes it, and as she slowly reaches for it. This part was very scary. I at this point was like lifting my feet up. My feet couldn't be hanging over the edge of the couch.
Nope. They need to be right. Every part of your body needs to be touching every other part of your body.
Yeah, I had to sit on top of my feet.
Yep.
Tuck them under.
They'll be safe there.
Get into like a little fetal position. And as she reaches for this thing, a nasty hand grabs her wrist. And it's just a flash, and then it cuts to, I think, her husband hearing her screaming and coming down, and we don't see, she seems fine, nobody else seems to be there, but she's completely panicked, and she's like, there's something in this house, I don't know what's going on, but something is wrong, and he gives her more of her pills.
Oh.
But he's... She can tell she's very stressed, and so he tells her he'll search around, he'll look around the whole house and make sure nobody's there. And as he's looking, he goes into the green room and he finds her bird dead in its cage. Its neck snapped.
Ah!
And Yunju sees this from the window into the room, and her eyes are wide and she's furious. She thinks she knows who could do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to Suyun's room and wakes her up. It's the middle of the night and is screaming at her and is like, get up, get out of bed. And as she does, she finds there were two birds, and she finds the second dead bird in Suyun's bed. Suyun looks completely shocked by this, like, did not.
Innocent.
Yeah, she looks quite innocent, but Yunju has seen the proof she needs, and she grabs her wrist and drags her out of bed while Suyun is like screaming. And she opens the wardrobe door and shoves her in it, and Suyun is screaming and screaming as she's like closed in this like small dark wardrobe, and she's like, there's no use screaming, like, I'm not letting you out of there until you say you're sorry and you take responsibility for what you did.
Oh god.
And she's screaming until she finally says she's sorry, and even after she says she's sorry, Yunju is like, well, good. I'm glad you're sorry. Like, we'll just see how sorry you'll be after, and just like leaves the room. And she's like, you're staying in there, basically.
Jesus Christ.
And now Sumi wakes up, and I wrote in here, there's some pretty heavy sleepers in this family because there was a lot of screaming just happening. And she looks like she's just woken up of her own volition, not at the noise. But she does decide she's going to go check on Suyun. She does sense something's like a little weird. And so she goes to Suyun's room. She doesn't see her. And then she hears something in the wardrobe, goes and opens it. Suyun is crying and Sumi is crying. They're holding each other and she's saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear anything. And I swear I won't let this happen again. This won't happen again. Holding each other. Now we see the dad outside burying the bird, or both of the birds. Maybe there was only one bird. I don't remember. But he comes back inside and him and Sumi have another confrontation where he's saying, like, why are you acting this way? Because he also is assuming that she killed the bird. And, and she's saying, like, I don't know why you're acting so blind to this. Like, you know what's happening. Like, why, I don't know. They're just having this little showdown. And she's saying, like, you know she's horrible. You know that we hate her. You know what she does to us. And the dad says, what does she do to you? Like, tell me what she does to you. And she says, like, she's always harassing Soo-yeon, and she's made Soo-yeon go in the wardrobe. And the dad says, please stop, just stop. And Soo-mi looks confused. It's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, just stop this. Like, I can't take any more of this. And she's like, well, Soo-yeon is like, we can't be in the house with this woman. She's hurting Soo-yeon. And dad says, Soo-yeon is dead.
Oh, no.
So pull yourself together. And Soo-yeon is in the room with them. Like, we're seeing Soo-yeon. And Soo-yeon has this moment. Both of them, Soo-mi and Soo-yeon, are having these kind of reality check moments where they're struggling to understand what's happening. And Soo-yeon starts, like, crying. And Soo-mi is saying, like, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. And they're just... taking that all in.
Great.
Cut to dad calling someone again and saying, yeah, please come down tomorrow. I can't do it alone. She's getting worse. Now we see Yunju dragging a big bloody sack.
What?
Down the hallway and then beating it with a fire poker. I think it was a fire poker.
How do you feel about the use of a fire poker in this situation?
You know, I don't condone this specific use, but say it was a bad guy in there, it's still an effective weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Who's in the bloody sack?
A bunch of fish?
Yeah, so much fish. She just loves maybe to fish this one.
Maybe a lot of fish.
Maybe a big bag of fish.
Let it be fish.
Soo-mi wakes up from a dream at this point, and we're like, was that the dream, or is she waking up while because she heard that happening? She's a pretty deep sleeper, so probably not. Mm-hmm. But as she wakes up, she sees a note that has been slid under her door from her dad, just saying that he's going to be out for the day and that he'll be back later in the day. So she gets up, she gets out of bed, and she's leaves her room and goes downstairs, and she sees a bloody trail leading down the hallway and is following it. Eventually gets to this big bloody sack. She's very scared. She slowly reaches out to touch it. And as she touches it, she like starts sobbing and she's like, Soo-yeon, Soo-yeon, and starts trying to untie the bag. It has a lot of rope tying the top of it, and she's trying to pry at it, but she can't. She can't get it open, and she's like hysterical, freaking out. As she's doing that, she sees a flash of herself taking pills and bashing the sack with the fire poker. She like shakes her head and she's like very confused, doesn't know what's going on. And she's looks back and the sack is gone now. She's got some scissors to try to cut the rope to get into the sack, but she follows the blood trail somewhere else. It's been moved in this short amount of time, so she's following it, and now it leads back to the wardrobe.
Oh God,
we're hearing a kettle boiling all through this, and just to add some extra tension, and we see Yunju go downstairs and turn off the kettle, and she's looking so evil. And she follows Soo-mi upstairs, brandishing the boiling kettle as a weapon, like she's going to throw it in her face, and like comes upon Soo-mi as she's at the wardrobe about to open it. Basically, Yunju like attacks her, and they just get into this big physical fight where she knocks the kettle out of her hand, and she has her scissors because she was going to use those, and she stabs Yunju in the hand, and Yunju like shoves her away from her, but then she like trips and falls and hits her head on the edge of a desk and knocks herself out. So Soo-mi gets knocked unconscious.
Okay.
And she wakes up to Yunju standing over her, holding one like a big heavy bust statue. Like that, as if she's going to crush her with it.
Oh,
and
God.
Yunju says kind of sadly, like, how did we come to this? How did we get to this point? Like, I don't understand how we got here. Sumi's really out of it and doesn't totally know what's happening. And she's like saying, help me, what was happening? And Yunju says, don't you get it yet? Remember I told you you'd regret this someday. You'd regret what you did. Sumi doesn't understand. And Yunju continues, you want to forget something, but you can't. And you never will. It can't go away. And it follows you around like a ghost. Sumi is crying and saying again, help me, please. Yunju says, help you? I will help you. And she lifts up the statue, like she's like, let's end it here. And then they hear the doorknob turning, the dad coming home, turn and look, and the house dissolves from bloodied and messy to completely clean, like nothing has happened. And we cut to the dad's point of view as he comes into the house and calls out for them. And he just sees Sumi lying on the floor with the broken bust, broken all around her, like it's as if it's been thrown on her. She's barely conscious. She's, you know, bleeding from her head from hitting the desk. And he rushes to her, picks her up, and carries her over to the couch. And as he does, he sees her hand has been stab wound in her hand.
Oh, great.
What's going on?
So she's, is Yunji not real?
What's going on?
This is when I was, feeling the same way. He leaves her on the couch as he goes around kind of surveying the damage. He sees where there was a part where they like crashed into a mirror, so the mirror's broken, and he's looking all around. And then he walks into a room and we see Yunju sitting on a couch looking very spacey and out of it as well, and acting all innocent all of a sudden, saying like, where's Sumi? Is Sumi okay? And dad says, please stop. Like, I'm sick of it now. I can't do this. He gives her her pills.
Oh my God, these goddamn pills.
And he stands up and walks out of the room, and someone else enters the room. Yunju is looking at this person's feet. We're only seeing their feet as these like feet walk in. It's someone in a suit, and the camera is dramatically panning up the body as we see Yunju's face has these really wide eyes, like, who is this person going to be? She seems to be really scared of this person. Camera pulls up to reveal it is Yunju, but not like a Yunju that we have been seeing, because this is the real Yunju.
What?
And she has, you know, a different haircut and is wearing, has totally different style. And the camera rotates behind her now. So we see on the couch is Sumi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Sumi has, again, a couple flashes of memory of her taking pills and her snapping the bird's neck and basically her doing various things that have happened throughout the course of the movie. It's not like the most straightforward reveal, but what is happening is that this is the real Yunju. She has not been there at all. It's been entirely Sumi and her dad.
Okay.
And she has like a dissociative identity disorder where she's been creating the evil stepmother and Suyun in her head. And Yunju, the real Yunju, is here now with her dad to take her back to the hospital, because real Yunju is a nurse and someone that I think got too close to their family at some point. So they take Sumi back to the hospital, and we see Yunju now looking really sad, real Yunju. And she, now we see one of her memories that she did come to their house to care for their mother while she was sick. And unclear if it was a mental illness or if it was cancer or something, but Yunju was a nurse that was coming to take care of the mother. And there's a glimpse of her having an affair with the dad, and the kids and the mom all knew this was happening.
Also earlier when Sumi, that was Sumi who was trying to seduce her own dad then.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate.
Oh, really God, unfortunate. I forgot about that.
It's tough. It's really tough. And yeah, there's like a question as to why he entertained it at all. But I think there is a truth to when people have delusions, there's like some amount of
going along with them
is like less upsetting than being like, hey, actually, this isn't real and you're not who you think you are.
But it's also so sad how many times he was like, enough, like you have to stop. It's like that doesn't help, but certainly he didn't know how to handle it.
So
did she kill her sister?
Yunju, this is like, I for the whole last 30 minutes of the movie, I was like, it could end at any moment. And it really did keep going. I mean, there's not much left, but I kept being nervous it wasn't going to really answer a lot of questions. But after some reading on Reddit, I think it does answer most of the questions. So we see Yunju now, they're after dropping Sumi back at the hospital. They've gone back to the house. Yunju is looking really remorseful, really like hanging her head in her hands and remembering these things that she feels really guilty and ashamed about. And then she hears a noise coming from another room, and she gets up and opens a door into this room, and there's something that like slips through the wall. It's like as if it would be as if it was a ghost that was able to move through a wall, as if it was like the tail of their dress disappearing in through the wall. Like it's just a very hard to recognize what it is, but something is in there that disappears like the second she walks in. And now the color palette of this room is very cold and drab, and it's like white, and she's shivering, and it's just a completely different tone, like color tone, than the rest of the movie has been. And she turns. We don't actually even like recognize this room. This is different wallpaper than anything we've seen before. And she turns, and the wardrobe is in this room. So it's something supernatural is happening, because the wardrobe wouldn't be in this room. She looks really scared as she opens the wardrobe, and there's nothing in there except for stacks of pillows. But between one of the pillows, a ribbon or something is hanging out, and she pulls on it slowly. And is pulling on it and pulling on it. And then out falls Suyun, is the like ghost, bloodied ghost corpse girl, crawls out in a very like grudge type way and attacks her. And we cut away to an exterior of the house and just hear Yunju screaming. And then we cut to Sumi in her hospital room. And she almost seems like she has felt this happen, and she breathes a sigh of relief, and she says, Suyun. And then we get one last flashback of, it's not explicit, but there's a shot of Yunju arriving at the house to take care of them, and the girls seeing like an inappropriate moment between her and the dad, I think, and having a like fight about it, and Suyun running to her room because she's upset, And her mom comes in there and comforts her and is like, it's okay, it's going to be okay. And puts her to bed, essentially. Soo-yeon wakes up the next morning and hears something in her closet and in the wardrobe, opens the wardrobe and finds her mom's dead body in it. Her mom has hung herself in her daughter's wardrobe.
Oh my fucking God. And the dad was like, not getting rid of this wardrobe?
Yeah, there's some things in here that I'm like, I don't know. There's another one coming up that I'm like, this isn't how adults are. Soo-yeon is screaming and crying, obviously, and trying to pull her mom down. And as she pulls her down, she pulls the whole wardrobe on top of her. And it's like crushing her.
Oh, my God.
And she's screaming for help. And Yoon-ju runs in because she hears it and goes into shock, just turns around and walks out of the room and is walking down the hallway. And then she kind of snaps out of it, shakes her head, and she's about to turn back to the room when Soo-mi comes out of her bedroom right next to where she's standing and like gets in her face and is like, what are you still doing here? My dad's not here anymore. Yoon-ju is I can't remember what she says, but she's trying to get past her and says, you'll regret this moment.
If you do this,
you'll regret this. And Soo-mi says, what could be worse than being here with you? And like shoves past her and walks outside and leaves the house. And then we see Soo-yeon like breathing her last breath. It's her hand like scrambling under the fallen wardrobe that we've been seeing some flashes of in the nightmare, of like a hand like grabbing to try to.
Oh my fucking God.
We see her hand go motionless, and we see Soo-mi walking out of the house into the lawn area, and then looking like she's getting a feeling of dread, she stops and kind of turns back to the house and turns back forward just with a strange expression on her face, and then it freeze frames, and that's the end of the movie.
What?
Oh my God.
And it actually switches now to a shot of Soo-mi alone on the dock in the same framing that we saw them together in the beginning, just to further drive home that there was always just Soo-mi.
That's so sad. That is just so fucking sad.
Wow. What the fuck?
What a downer.
Yeah, feel bad and very scary. It's a real scary one.
I'm sure it's very similar to A Tale of Two Cities.
I think probably it's exactly the same.
I think so. I think probably.
Very Dickensian story, I feel.
So Dickensian.
Jesus.
So I feel like I have a handle on it now, but it was one that I was like, okay, I need to like go through everything again to understand it. So the opening scene is not a flash forward. It is chronological. She comes back from the mental institution after this traumatic after her sister and mother dying, and when she comes back she has developed
this
dissociative identity disorder, where she is creating an evil stepmother and little sister dynamic that she has to like protect her little sister from her evil stepmother. And
God, that's sad.
Yeah. But the house, I believe, is actually also haunted. Like, there are outside people that see ghosts, like the...
Yeah.
And I believe Yoon-ju is killed by Soo-yeon's ghost in the end.
Okay.
There's also a supernatural element that I think can't be explained by her dissociative identity disorder.
And then the brother... coming over, he was just watching Soo-mi act like Eugen.
Yeah, that's why he was like, I don't remember any of these stories that you're saying because they didn't happen because you're not my sister.
Yikes.
Yeah, so going back over all the scenes is...
What was in the bloody sack? What was that? Was there something in there?
There wasn't a bloody sack.
I don't think there was. I think that was all in her mind, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because, yeah, when the dad walked in, it just, like, disappeared and everything. Oh, there was no blood trails on the ground anymore. So I think that was all in her head. But, yeah, it's a tough one.
No, it's a tough one.
It was not a fun one, but it was very good.
Really good. Shocked it's not available on streaming.
It is in some countries, just not in the United States.
Ooh. Yeah, definitely a feel bad.
Yeah.
The brain is the scariest thing. And those pills, I don't think they were doing much.
Didn't seem to be helping too much, no.
Didn't seem to help. Not at all.
I mean, mental health is not an exact science. And... you know, I've never experienced dissociative identity disorder, but even with anxiety and depression, not all pills help. You can try them and they might not. I don't know if that's how it works with every mental illness, but it's like with your brain, it's not as easy as getting, you know, stitches or something. It's
way more complicated.
It's very complicated and very, that's what makes it so scary because there's not a simple answer.
Just so sad that it can be. It can develop because of a severe trauma, and that's why it's really, your brain just protecting itself. It's so sad.
Yeah, that your brain changes after trauma.
Well, I love to think about that on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's absolutely gorgeous outside, but in my own brain, I'll be thinking about this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what palate cleansers are we all gonna?
Good question.
Oh, great question.
I want to watch the Beyonce concert.
I heard it's great.
Is it streaming somewhere?
I think it's, I don't know where it's streaming. I don't know how to watch it, but I heard it's really good. And I really want to see Blue Ivy learning how to dance. And that's what I'm going to do.
That sounds nice. I think I'm going to watch Shogun.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I want to watch Shogun, too.
I'm going to keep reading my book.
There she goes.
There you go. I'm almost done with my book. I'm excited. Well, I'll be sad, but it's nice to finish something.
It is. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I'm reading a book you can't even read yet, but you will be able to read it eventually. I'm reading Casey McQuiston's next book. Doesn't come out until the summer.
Hell
but
yes.
Wow, you guys, it's really good.
Oh my god, yay.
I'm so excited for it.
We'll be getting back to it immediately, and I'll forget that this movie ever happened.
The pairing, everybody go pre-order it.
Go pre-order The Pairing. You're gonna want it right away.
I'm really excited to read it as well. So, you know, there's good things in life.
There are some good things in life. There's a lot of good things in life.
Mostly food,
life isn't
not lunch,
like this.
But other food.
I am hungry, though.
I'm hungry too.
I'm starving.
I am looking forward to food.
I'm going
to
go eat more of those honey mustard pretzels and cheddar cheese.
I do love a honey mustard pretzel.
I love you guys so much.
I love you.
Love you, listeners.
So much.
Hope you have lots of good TV and snacks to look forward to.
Hope so.
And we'll be back next week with a new episode.
You better believe it.
No voices in this. I guess I can do an evil stepmother voice. And I'll do just a mean little angry voice.
Little face.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
Bye. We did it. We made it. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
If you enjoy the show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, or we will haunt you.
And if you simply can't get enough of us, we have good news for you. We have lots of bonus content available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
You'll get access to video trailer reactions, 2 bonus episodes a month, the power to vote for upcoming episodes, and more.
And last but not least, you can follow us on social media at TSDW podcast.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
We love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.